ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So the verse is from the next chapter, and there's one more verse from the previous chapter, which is entitled The Downfall of Shubhari Muni. So we'll read that translation and purport and go on to the remaining verses. This is the last verse. O Maharaj Parikshit, by observing their husbands progressing in spiritual existence, Shubhari Muni's wives were also able to enter the spiritual world by his spiritual power, just as the flames of a fire ceases when the fire is extinguished. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.3.2, Shriyo Vaishas Tata Sudras Tepi Yantri Param Gatim, women are considered very powerful in following spiritual principles. I'm sorry. Maybe I said it right, but it says here, women are not considered very powerful in following spiritual principles. But if a woman is fortunate enough to get a suitable husband who is spiritually advanced, and if she is always engages in his service, she also gets the same benefit as her husband. Here it is clearly said that the wives of Shubhari Muni also entered the spiritual world by the influence of their husband. They were unfit, but because they were faithful followers of their husband, they also entered the spiritual world with him. Thus, a woman should be faithful servant of her husband, and if the husband is spiritually advanced, the woman would automatically get the opportunity to enter the spiritual world. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 6th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Downfall of Shubhari Muni. Chapter 7 is entitled The Descendants of King Madatta. Translation, verse 1. Sukadev Goswami said, the most prominent among the sons of Madatta was he who was celebrated as Ambarish. Ambarish was accepted as a son by his grandfather, Yuvanaswa. Ambarish's son was Yuvanasva, and Yuvanasva's son was Harita. In Mandata's dynasty, Ambarisha, Harita, and Yuvanasva were very prominent. Verse number 2. The serpent brothers of Narmada gave Narmada to Purukshuta Puksha, being sent by Vasuki, she took Purushuktsa to the lower regions of the universe. And there's just one long sentence purport by Srila Prabhupada. Before describing the descendants of Purushuktsa, the son of Mandata, Sukadeva Goswami first describes how Purushuktsa was married to Narmada, who was induced to take him to the lower regions of the universe. Verse number 3. There in Rasatala, the lower regions in the universe, Purukshuksa, being empowered by Lord Vishnu, was able to kill all the Gandharvas who deserved to be killed. Purukshuksa received the benediction from the serpents that anyone who remembers this history of his being brought by Narmada to the lower regions of the universe will be assured of safety from the attack of snakes. Translation for verse number 4. The sons of Purukshuksa was Trasadasyu, who was the father of Anaranya. Anaranya's son was Haryashva, the father of Praruna. Praruna was the father of Tribandana. Verses 5 and 6. The sound of Sri Bandana was Satyavrata, who was celebrated by the name Trishanku. Because he kidnapped the daughter of a Brahmana when she was being married, his father cursed him to become a Chandala, lower than a Sudra. Thereafter, by the influence of Vishwamitam, he went to the higher planetary systems, the heavenly planets, in his material body. But because of the prowess of the demigods, he fell back downwards. Nonetheless, by the power of Vishwamitra, he did not fall all the way down. Even today, he can still be seen hanging in the sky, head downward.
Interesting.
This is today's verse. Verse number 7. Trisankavo Harishchandro Vishwamita Vavishtayaho Yanvinatam Abhudyudhyam Paksinor Bahuvarsakam Trisankava, the son of Trishanku, Harishchandra, by the name Harishchandra, Vishwamitra Vabhishtayaho, between Vishwamitra and Vashishta, Ya Nimitam, because of Harishchandra, Abu, there was Yudyam, a great fight. Paksino, both of whom had been converted into birds. Bahuvar Sikam, for many years. Translation: The son of Trisanka was Harishchandra. Because of Harishchandra, there was a great quarrel between Vishwamitra and Vishishta, who for many years fought one another, having been transformed into birds. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Vishwamitra and Vishishta were always inimical. Formerly, Vishwamitra was a Kshatriya, and by undergoing severe austerities, he wanted to become a Brahmana. But Vishishta would not agree to accept him. In this way, there was always disagreement between the two. Later, however, Vishishta accepted him because of Vishwamitra's quality of forgiveness. Once, Harishchandra performed a yajna, for which Vishwamitra was the priest. But Vishwamitra, being angry at Harishchandra, took away all his possessions, claiming them as a contribution of dakshina. Vishishta, however, did not like this, and therefore a fight rose between Vashishta and Vishwamitra. The fighting became so severe that each of them cursed the other. One of them said, "May you become a bird," and the other said, "May you become a duck." Thus, both of them became birds and continued fighting for many years because of Harishchandra. Interesting. We can see that such great mystic yogis as Subari Muni became a victim of sense gratification, and such great sages as Vishishta and Vishwamitra became birds. This is the material world. Abrahmana Bhuvana Loka Purna Arvarta Jarjuna. Within this material world, within this universe, however elevated one may be in material qualities, one must suffer the conditions of birth, death, old age, and disease. Janma Mritya Jara Vyadi. Therefore, Krishna says that this material world is simply miserable. Dukalayam Ashashvatam. The Bhagavatam says, Padam Padam Yavi Padam. At every step, there is danger. Therefore, because the Krishna conscious movement provides the opportunity for the human being to get out of this material world simply by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, this movement is the greatest benediction in human society. Om Agyam Timidandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu unmilitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobhistam staptitam yena bhutale. Swayam rupa kadam mayam dadati svam padantikam. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna prasthaya bhutale. Srimati bhakti vedanta swami iti namine. Namaste saraswati deve gauravani pacharine. Nirvishesha shunyavadi pashtyatyade satarne. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasiri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the material world. Even great personalities who have such knowledge, benefits of austerity, so many outstanding good qualities, people come from them, they fight. They fight, and apparently it looks like it's just something very insignificant. It actually appears to be, because one didn't agree with the other, or because Vasishtha Muni didn't like what Vishwamitra did, fighting became so intense that they actually changed bodies. Wow. At least for some time. Through the Buddha say the mutual cursing. And we see that, and Prabhupada mentions this, is a long-term enmity between these two. Both are very powerful. Vishwamitra was very much envious of Vasishtha's position. It's mentioned, there's a little history that goes behind here. It's interesting how Vishwamitra was a very powerful Kshatriya king and he had many great armies. He came to the ashram of Vasishtha Muni. Now Vasishtha Muni, being a Brahmana, he welcomed the king and very nicely honored him and gave him all facility. And at one point, it was time to offer prasadam. So he had this Kamandenu cow. This cow had the ability, simply by chanting mantras by Vasishtha, this cow could produce anything. It was a Chintamani cow. And so in order to please Vishwamitra Muni, he chanted these mantras, and the entire, from the cow's udder, so much, what we say, luxurious, succulent, immense amount of foodstuffs came from the body of the cow, so much so that thousands and thousands of soldiers were fed nicely by Vishishtha's cow. You would think that Vishwamitra would appreciate that and honor such a great thing, but what happened? He did the opposite. He thought, "Oh, I'm the king, this cow should be mine." And so he wanted the cow. And he asked Vasishtha, "Since I'm the king of the land, the best should go to the king. I should get this." Vasishtha said, "I do all my puja, everything is dependent on my cow. This is my servant, this is my bhajan, everything." So he refused. And this Vishwamitra became very angry. And then he started to drag the cow away by force. The cow looked at Vasishtha and said, "Help." "So give me a command." So he did, and out of the udder of the cow came these fierce soldiers, and they destroyed Vishwamitra's entire army. Vishwamitra's army was completely destroyed. So when Vishwamitra saw this, he thought, "Well, Kshatriya Tejas is nice, but Brahma Tejas is greater." So he started performing these great austerities to actually become a Brahmin. We all know the stories how he tried to meditate and fell down twice because Indra somehow or other was envious of his austerities, afraid that he would lose his position in the heavenly planets, and send some, what we say, very attractive society girls from the heavenly planets. And Vishramurti, this is the point that is here, is that simply austerity alone cannot prevent one from falling down into the material world. Prabhupada makes this point. I think we lost something. We have it back up. Oh, okay, we're on again. The principle of austerity is only used in order to facilitate our position in Krishna consciousness so we can execute the devotional service. But Vishramita Muni and others perform austerities in order to somehow become influential, powerful, to control others, to destroy others. So now, somehow or other, although he performed these austerities, Vasishtha didn't accept it. But it mentions here, this is an interesting point, that somehow or other, Vishramita practiced forgiveness. And because of his that practice, Vasishtha welcomed him into the Brahminical order. So this is an interesting point, the principle of forgiveness. It says that all of the principles for a Brahmin, of course it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that the qualities of a Brahmana, samo, dhamma, austerity, peacefulness, religiousness, knowledge, realization. But the quality of forgiveness is outstanding because it is the principle that allows one to execute devotional service in such a way the mind becomes free. I remember I was giving a class in Bhaktivedanta Manor, this was many years ago, and we were talking about the principle of Vaishnav Seva. And so there was a nice group of devotees, and at the end one lady came up to me and I had asked for questions, but she didn't ask any questions during that time. And she asked me, Maharaj, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. She said, I have this problem with this one lady. I said, oh? And she described a little bit of it, and I said, how long has it been going on? She said, 25 years. I practically fell off my seat. I was thinking, 25, how is it possible you're still living? To hold that type of negativity for so long. I said, all I could say is that you're suffering more than she is, because to hold that negativity causes one to become unhappy. It causes one to become, what we say, diverted away from the goal of life, which is to practice Krishna consciousness with a clear mind. So this quality of forgiveness is very, very elevated quality. People will cause us difficulty. The material energy is like that. And just the way it is, there's a lot of examples where people misunderstand each other. We could see it here, some misunderstanding. And all of a sudden, there is some conflict, some controversy. And this is the material world. It happens all the time. To forgive is glorious. It's one of the most important brahminical qualities. But sometimes we hear that there is another principle that goes along with this point of forgiveness, and that is forgive and forget. But that doesn't always work, does it? Because if you forget, then one might find themselves in such a situation again where one has to again practice forgiveness. It becomes repetitious. So forgive, but don't forget. In other words, understand what caused the situation and avoid it. Here we have two very powerful persons. Look, Vishramita Muni was so powerful. Prabhupada said, he actually created a man, brought a body from a tree. He was able to bring birth from a tree. That's power. But what value does it have? It doesn't have any value. But here, this way, Prabhupada ends the particular purport and says that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then all the difficulties, all the inebrieties, everything that is what we say of the material energy that causes one to get entangled in this material energy, Prabhupada says, this is the greatest benediction for the human society. Greatest benediction. Kaler dosha nidhi rajan asti ekal mahagun kirtana eva krishnasya mukta sangam param bhajat. We all know, we've heard so many times the glories of the holy name of the Lord. But it says that one can never understand the glories of the holy name of the Lord. It's always underestimated or underglorified. Simply chanting once the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, purely, or even one name of God, what to speak about the entire mantra, one can purify themselves from all sinful reactions and actually awaken their desire for devotional service. So powerful. Here we see, and then Prabhupada mentions, or not actually not Prabhupada, the Srimad Bhagavatam mentions in the sixth canto that many great personalities who were authors of the Vedas, such as Yajnavalkya, Jamini, and others, who know religious principles and who teach religious principles, they don't chant Hare Krishna. They don't chant Hare Krishna. And we can see here how they get entangled in the material energy. There's a nice story. These two personalities are always fighting. They're always fighting. So there was one story by Gaura Govinda Maharaj. He wanted to make a nice point using these as example of these two personalities. And they were fighting and fighting again. There was another disagreement on another point. So they decided, let's settle this disagreement by going to Anantashesha himself. So they came. They found Anantashesha by their power of austerity. And they presented the disagreement and they wanted his understanding, his conclusion. Anantashesh replied, you know, I have all these universes on my head and you're asking me to think about this problem? I want to help you and I can help you, but you have to help me help you. So if you can take some of the weight of this universe on your head, not all of it, obviously, then I'll deliberate on your question. So, you know, Vishwamurti, he's there. He says, no problem. Put it on me. By the power of my austerity, I'll do it. So Nantashe shifts some of the weight onto Vishwamurti. Crushed. He can't move. He's flat. He's out. Unconscious. So all that are left is Vashishta. So he says, Vashishta, what about you? He said, by the power of my service to the Vaishnavas, I can do it. So he shifted his weight onto Vashishta and nothing happened. Nice point. So by Vaishnava Seva, one gets the mercy of the Lord, and with the mercy of the Lord becomes also the power to execute devotional service nicely. So here, these are some interesting points that are being mentioned here. The quality of forgiveness, the importance of chanting the holy names of the Lord, and the importance that austerity is simply meant to get one situated in devotional service. There was one devotee, I won't mention his name, he was performing so many austerities during Srila Prabhupada's time, and his austerity was to chant as many mantras as possible. So he was chanting 32 rounds a day, not doing very much service. Chanting then, he was chanting 64 rounds a day. Then he went to Mayapur and continued to chant 64 rounds. And devotees were concerned about him and were trying to help him. You have to do some service too, you know, not just chant. You know. But he was fixed on chanting the holy name. We don't know what the quality of that chanting was. And then finally he decided to live in a tree and chant 64 rounds. And then after some time, he was no longer with us. So austerity has to support the principle of bhakti and not take away from the principle, because if austerity makes one hard-hearted, and we see Vishwamitra Muni, he's expert at austerities, but austerities are meant to get one off the bodily platform so that one can execute. And what is the austerity? Tapo Divyam Putrakadyena Sadvam, to execute devotional service. But the highest form of austerity actually is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, and to become the humble in best way we can servant of the Vaishnava. Because no one can chant the holy names of the Lord without serving Vaishnavas. It's not possible. That's the prelude to the foundation of getting the mercy of the holy name, is to become the servant of the devotees. As Prabhupada said, Gopi Bhattu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. In one lecture, Prabhupada said, one should practice this mood of Vaishnav Seva to the ultimate principle. And he said, 100 times removed. The more one becomes servant, the more one becomes, what we say, glorious in the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that service may take on different forms, but that the mood is the most important thing. So Lord Chaitanya summarized his whole process of devotional service into three things: Namuchi, Vaishnav Seva, and of course the last one is Jivadoya, which really means showing mercy to the conditioned souls. So our devotional service is complete when we try to cultivate these three things as the main principles in our devotional service. And if we're performing Vaishnava Seva in a proper way, then the qualities of a Vaishnava will automatically come. And even if there is some difficulty, some conflict, as we see here, the more intelligent a person is, the more they might be, what we say, fixed on the idea that I am always right. Sometimes intelligence, when it's, what we say, not supported by the cult, the mood of humility, brings one to some type of arrogance. And one thinks, I'm right, it doesn't matter. Maybe right, but the arrogance destroys it. So the qualities of a Vaishnava is Trinadapi Sadichena Tayorivasahishnana Amanina Mamanadena Kirtaniya Sadarahi. And that's the foundation for executing devotional service effectively. Okay, I don't have any idea what time it is. Does anyone know?
8:40.
Huh?
8:40.
8:40. Okay, any questions or comments on anything related to this? Anyone? Yes, Prabhu. He's going to bring you the microphone.
This is the background of this particular verse. A very, very important point comes up. Vishwamitra, Vasishtha was the position of a guru, and Harishchandra was their disciple.
Yeah.
So, it's a thing which comes to mind. Is it okay for the gurus to make demands from their disciples which are not practical and impossible to achieve? Similar pattern is also there with the Lord, where Pali Maharaj makes a demand for three steps of land, where the third step there is no place. So these kind of demands from the perspective of a guru, how do you use this to throw some light?
Well, we understand it's the duty of the spiritual master to somehow or other push his disciple forward in the process of devotional service. And that requires some understanding of the nature of the disciple and how best they can make advancement. But you don't want to destroy the disciple by causing. Therefore, it is explained that a spiritual master should not give an instruction to a disciple who, if he cannot execute it, because then it's guru avagya. He fails to execute that instruction, and that is an offense to the spiritual master. Spiritual master wants his disciples to make advancement and not go away. So to, what we say, perform the duty of a spiritual master, he has to see how best they can make advancement and then give instructions accordingly. Of course, some instructions may be done in such a way as to destroy a disciple's wrong mentality. And that may be very strong. And we see sometimes, there was one example in New Vrindavan, I remember. I wasn't there personally. I was there at the farm at the time when one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada a question based on Bhagavad Gita. And it was from the... He was asking that verse, 4-7, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. And this devotee had been a preacher. He's been preaching, he was a traveling preacher. And Prabhupada didn't even deal with the question. He says, you're out there preaching and you don't know my books and you're asking me this question? Why are you asking this question? You should know this answer. And Prabhupada went on for 20 minutes. The poor boy was like sinking into the floor. The devotees around him were thinking, we got to do something to derail Prabhupada. This boy is going to be a puddle in a few minutes. So they started asking Prabhupada some questions. Prabhupada just went right back to what he was doing, you know. So why did that happen? Obviously there was some reason. Prabhupada wanted to make a point. And the boy was able to somehow take it, the devotee. And he continued on with his devotional service. But everyone around couldn't understand why Prabhupada was so heavy with this person. Really heavy. He wanted to make a particular point. Not all of us could understand why Prabhupada did it the way he did it. So a lot of times, many times, we try to second guess things, and we might find ourselves in a very embarrassing position. But your point is, well taken, because Prabhupada used to say, Krishna will not put one in a position where they can't pass the test. That means the spiritual master being the representative. Because it's not about destroying the person's Krishna consciousness, but purifying them and moving them forward. Does that help? Is there a question? Yes.
And being in such a high position, the Lord himself accepts both of them in a position of need. How can we behave in the way we behave?
Why do great souls behave like that? When they have such position, power, and influence. It doesn't mention that they were Vaishnavas. They were powerful, great personalities. They had devotion, but it doesn't mention their position as being Vaishnavas. I can't really say why they behave like that, what is the cause. Sometimes two great souls, just somehow or other, they just, for whatever reason, there's some enmity, some envy for, and it's understood that generally envy happens when people have the same occupation and one becomes a little bit unhappy because of the other's advancement or success. And we saw that earlier with Vishwamitra when he tried to destroy, when he tried to take away the cow. But anyone would like to answer that question? Narayani? No? Why these persons are like they are? Anyone want to take a stab at that question? Unseen. Mm-hmm. Unseen situation. Mm-hmm. I remember one, this is a little story. It's a contemporary ISKCON story. And I think maybe with a little bit of the history of our movement, some of the leaders in our movement sometimes would not get along with each other. That does happen, doesn't it? Sometimes. So this was one, two leaders, both of them had prominent positions in being both temple presidents. They were always arguing that at one point they didn't want to associate with each other anymore. So, but at one time there was a program, a kirtan actually, was in the temple, and they both were there. And the kirtan was going on, and it was quite enthusiastic kirtan, and devotees were dancing in the circle. So another devotee who understood the situation between them was thinking, I'm going to make some solution here, or try to. So the kirtan's going on, one standing on one side of the circle, and the other one standing on the other side of the circle. And they're both, you know, make sure to distance away from each other. And they're both, you know, in the kirtan. And so it's going on. And this one devotee starts dancing with one of them. He pulls one of them in and starts dancing with him. And he makes sure he dances towards the other one. So he's dancing with him and he goes towards the other one. And then when he gets close, he pulls the other one in. So the three of them are together and they're dancing. And then at one point he leaves and both of them are holding each other and dancing in kirtan. They forgot whatever their problem was. So this is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Can't underestimate the power of Krishna's holy hand. Doesn't mention anything about chanting here. Okay. Anything else?
Can I add a dimension to this?
Yeah.
If we take this particular instance, both Vishwamitra and Vasishtha were fighting over Harishchandra. Hmm. And if we go a little deeper into this background, Vasishtha was king of Ramana, was quite upset with Vishwamitra's demands of Harishchandra as a guru. That's the reason why Vasishtha was setting scores with Vishwamitra, and that's the main reason for a battle which ensued between Vishwamitra and Vasishtha.
They seem to both disagree with each other all the time, so this is just one of the many incidents. Okay, yes, Prabhu. Yeah, pass them over.
Tell us the progress and some nice stories about prison preaching, about one person that doesn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. Got a book by Srila Prabhupada, Changed His Life in Prison, or some story that would help me in my spiritual life.
Hare Krishna. It's a little off the subject, but not really. Yeah, there were many. I mean, this is a constant feature that people who are in that you know, that kind of confinement when they come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books, or when they somehow or other start chanting the holy names of the Lord, their whole life is... There's one story, I can't tell the place it happened because we're a little restricted in preaching there. But there was one man, he was on death row. And, you know, he was always denying the fact that he had committed the crime. And so we had a devotee who was the Hindu chaplain at the jail. And so this Hindu chaplain went to the administration, says, is there anybody there here that might be interested in coming to our program? He said, well, there's one man, he's also has a Hindu background. I'll bring him along. So they brought him along and he came to the program and they were teaching Bhagavad Gita. So he became interested. So after some time associating with devotees, hearing Bhagavad Gita, learning Bhagavad Gita, his whole demeanor changed, his whole attitude changed. Now he's actually admitting that he did the crime, and he's becoming what we say a whole different person. Now he wants to only read Bhagavad Gita, he wants to learn Bhagavad Gita, he wants to become a devotee. So now it's time for him to, you know, meet his destiny. So they're taking him away for execution, and while he's walking away, before that he said, oh, can I have a Bhagavad Gita with me when I get executed? So, because in my next life I want to become a devotee. So they said, yeah, I gave him the Bhagavad Gita. So he's walking. As he's walking, he's passing by these cells with other inmates in it, and he's just waving goodbye. I'm going to be a devotee of Krishna in my next life. And the jailers, they're amazed. They never saw anything like this. You know, when usually they have to drag the person. But he was just walking, smiling. I'm going. I'm going to be a devotee. So that was a pretty amazing story. When his parents found out, you know, what was his attitude and how he was acting, they were amazed. Because he would always talk to them how he was completely innocent of the crime. But as soon as he became connected with Krishna consciousness and Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, his whole life became what we say successful. Yeah. So that's one story anyway. Radhe Shyam Prabhu.
I wanted to say one word about the forget and forgive, which you mentioned in your lecture. In 1.1.2, Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that spiritual world is a competitionless society. Spiritual world is a competitionless society.
Spiritual life is a competition. Spiritual world is competitionless
society. There is no competition and no envy and no enmity, and also there is no malice in the hearts of the living beings. Whereas in this world, even if somebody may be a great yogi or a jnani, or even if one has come into the realm of devotional service and one has not yet purified sufficiently, then there is the possibility of malice. So you are mentioning that we should forgive people, but we should not forget the instance, because then we can be alert.
We can be again trapped by the same, unpleasant situation.
At the same time, the forgive and forget is used in another context, which I have heard, that when someone does harm to me and I forgive him, then if I don't forget that instance, then every time I look at him, the old remembrance comes to me.
Yeah.
And I think, hey, he's a fellow, he did this. Although externally I may maintain a neutral relationship with him, I may not be able to have affection for him. So Prithu Maharaj, his forgiving of Indra, he forgave him, forgot it, and he showed affection for him. So showing affection is a far-fetched idea.
Mm-hmm.
But at least if you can forget it, we may not revive the malice in our hearts.
Yeah, well, that's one of the options. It's not both. You can forgive and forget, or you can forgive and not forget. It depends on you. But the idea of forgiveness is there. Once forgiveness is there, the mind is free from the anxiety that the situation caused. But the idea is to be cautious, because we might find ourselves again in another situation where we have to again be forced to forgive.
But sometimes we forgive because we are told to forgive someone. Although we might not want
to. But that's not, if you're told to forgive someone, that's not complete. It has to come from the heart. It has to be genuine. If it's not genuine, then that residue, you know, it's, a lot of times we're told to do something, but because our heart is not in it, we just do it mechanically, and we don't get the complete understanding or the benefit from that. Yeah. So that's an option. Forgive and forget is not an absolute principle, nor is forgive and don't forget an absolute principle. There's a third principle, which I didn't mention. Address the issue with the person and try to work it out. That's the third option. If you can do that, that'll even overshadow all the other ones. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.